Hey, if you're looking for a tequila that is going to be a premium caliber top shelf tequila, I want to tell you about Maestro Dobel. Bottles look really cool. The packaging's cool. For people who go to Mexico, you see it's like really cool, distinctive bottles. And if you spend any time in Mexico, there's a good chance you've seen Maestro Dobel. It's getting much bigger here in the States as well. I tell you about them because I love them. Very smooth tequila. And I had a bar director tell me that he hated the word smooth for tequila. But I'm sorry, I don't know another phrase. It never burns at all in the throat. I don't care if you're taking shots after your team wins the World Series like I did, or if you're just having it as a sipping tequila or you're putting it in a cocktail. And there's a wide variety of tequilas to choose from. What you may not know is Maestro Dobel makes a bunch of different types of tequilas that all have very distinctive flavor profiles. So make sure that you are trying Maestro Dobel. Wherever fine liquors are sold, grab yourself a bottle. Tell me what you think of it. Take a picture of the bottle of yourself. I don't care. I love sending it to Mallory over at Maestro Dobel. And let me know what you think. But I think you're going to really love the distinctive flavor profile of the well-designed and well done tequila that is going to blow you away, and it's right here in Houston. Maestro Dobel.
The conversation continues on the bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Cowboys win-loss pattern this season.
Yeah.
Lost a game, won four in a row. Lost a game, won two in a row. Lost a game, won four in a row. Lost a game, won two in a row. Lost a game, now they're going to win four in a row, the Super Bowl.
Wow.
How about that?
Or two in a row.
No. Because it goes win four in a row, two in a row, four in a row, two in a row. Now it's four in a row. So they're going to win four in a row and win the Super Bowl.
Okay. Is that how it works?
That is how it works.
I didn't know it was that easy, if I'm being honest.
No. It's unbelievable. That just stop already, Dustin. You're embarrassing yourself. You really are kind of embarrassing yourself. 713-780-3776 is the number. The Golden Globes were last night. Apparently, what's his name that played Elvis, did his Elvis voice, and he's getting dragged for it. The guy who played Elvis.
Yeah, why is he getting dragged for it?
I don't know. Twitter didn't like him coming up there and having his Elvis voice on.
Well, some people think his voice has changed since he did Elvis. I didn't even know who this guy was. He was actually pretty funny. I watched him a little bit on Saturday Night Live. Saturday Night Live is just so hit or miss. Some of the skits are good. Some are terrible. I've seen some awful whole... Like, some of the guests are just awful. He was actually pretty funny.
Was he?
Yeah, he was actually pretty funny. And but his voice, everyone says his voice is now, he's changed his voice. It's like, I went back and listened to it before. He's got this deep southern sound to his voice anyway, so I don't know. Eddie Murphy, I guess Eddie Murphy was on.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm a generation where Eddie Murphy was... Like Eddie, there was Richard Pryor, the previous generation.
Delirious was the funniest video I think I've ever
seen. Eddie Murphy, I don't know if I could really, truly encapsulate. If you're 20 years old, you have no idea. Yeah. Eddie Murphy in Raw and Delirious.
I thought Delirious was
better. This is a guy who was doing comedy, stand-up comedy, and it was in movie theaters. Mm-hmm. You would go to the movie theater to watch his stand-up comedy show. It wasn't on HBO or whatever. You went to the theater and got a ticket or had somebody's dad get you a ticket when you were spending the night and then go to, like Will Colgan's dad would do for us.
That's nice.
Yeah, and we would go, and I learned a lot of things at Will's house. It's nothing like having a divorced dad who's never around, and we learn a lot of things at that house. When I'd go to Will's house, we saw a lot of things, and we learned about a lot of things we maybe shouldn't have at some of the ages we were at. But anyway, I learned who Vanessa Williams was, but... Oh... Why is Sebastian calling me? Anyway, so Eddie Murphy was a monster. I mean, he was on Saturday Night Live as the young guy who was really hilarious, Mr. Robinson's Neighborhood.
Gumby. I'm Gumby, damn it.
He started doing movies. Eddie was the monster. He got in the ultimate heat check. He tried to do Party All the Time with Rick James. So he actually did a song where Rick James was the producer.
It was a pretty popular song.
It was, but it's like, Eddie, it wasn't meant to be funny. It was meant to be, look at me, watch me sing.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay. And then some of his movies, like 48 Hours
was the best.
48 Hours and Trading Places are to this day are phenomenal. And then he tried to do The Golden Child. That wasn't as good. Golden Child was a little bit of a miss.
No.
And then Eddie got really full of himself. Coming to America was great in like 88. Then Eddie got full of himself and he really fell off. Then he started doing
Clumps.
Then he did The Clumps, which was kind of a comeback for him. But that was at 2000. That was 20 years ago.
He was doing the animal voices. What was he?
Yeah, Shrek.
He did Shrek.
He did the Donkey and Shrek.
He did the Donkey and Shrek, but he also did.
He did Bowfinger was one of the movies.
Mushu and Mulan.
Yeah.
What's that?
Mushu and Mulan, the dragon.
Oh, did he do that too?
Was he?
He was the dragon in Mulan.
Dude, Eddie Murphy has been around. Like, Eddie Murphy doesn't age, by the way.
No.
If you want to talk about black don't crack, Eddie Murphy's been around for 40 years, and he looks phenomenal to this day. Here's... Yeah. This is Eddie just thought he was...
Well, thank you.
Eddie thought this was the
you
coolest...
You never danced to this, okay? All right?
I listened to it for a while. I mean, that was Eddie. Eddie was... Yeah. Eddie was at the same time Michael Jackson was big. Eddie Murphy was big.
Yeah,
Michael
but, Jordan he did a was Michael, big. He did, in Delirious, he did a Michael Jackson.
Tito, pass me tissue.
Yeah.
He did the Michael Jackson stuff. He did Mike Tyson stuff because Mike Tyson was coming up at the same time. So, man, the 80s were wild. You had Mike Tyson, Michael Jackson, Michael Jordan, Eddie Murphy. Everyone's coming up, these mega stars. And then Eddie just kind of fell off, and he's had some ups and downs. But to this day, he's still really funny. But here's Eddie Murphy yesterday. He was talking about did he accept an award? I don't know what
he was
doing.
No, but he was at the microphone. Here's Eddie Murphy.
Here's Eddie Murphy.
I want to let you know that there is a definitive blueprint that you can follow to achieve success, prosperity, longevity, and peace of mind. It's a blueprint. And I followed it my whole career. It's very simple. There's three things. You just do these three things. Pay your taxes. Mind your business. And keep Will Smith's wife's name. Mouth!
And keep Will Smith's name out your bleeping mouth.
Wife's name.
Pay your taxes. Mind your business and keep Will Smith's name out Keep Will Smith's wife's name out your bleeping mouth.
Yeah. Yeah. Will Smith, Eddie Murphy. I'm telling you, if you have not seen, if you're young and you've never seen Delirious.
Yeah, it holds up to this day.
It does.
Mama Burger. I'm going to make you Mama Burger.
Cream. I got ice cream. You don't have none because you're on the welfare.
To this day, I've used dead bird. Gonna put it on doo-doo.
Yeah.
Gonna put it on you.
Oh, every time I light the barbecue up, I go, roll Charlie over.
Yeah, roll Charlie
over. He'll be all right. Roll Charlie over.
Goonie Goo-Goo. And take your Goonie Goo-Goo ass. Eddie.
This is not furniture, Eddie. It's a piece of...
Yeah. Your dog has all over the place, Eddie. Yeah. Oh, my God. What a great...
That's the best.
It's
813
the best.
ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5. Time to talk about... You want to talk about the best? I've had them at my house just the other day, and they were awesome. Aqueduct Plumbing.
Sometimes they don't give you good news. It's just the news you need, though.
No, listen. Stuff happens.
Because it gets to be worse.
You don't know. Your pipe burst. All of a sudden, you got water. The floor's coming up. The baseboards are... What the heck is going on here? Call Aqueduct immediately. Put that number in your phone because you need it. Man, was I glad because we had it. And I went, uh-oh, here's what I do. 281-488-6238. Then they set me up with Daniel over at Resto Pros, and they're unbelievable. And they're doing business. So if you have any remediation, they've got the guys that are going to be right there. And they were there, right there. And, man, are they doing a heck of a job. It's unbelievable how good these people are. Aqueduct Plumbing is the only people that you call. They're going to come to your home absolutely free and give you that evaluation. Find the problem. I mean, it was Unbelievable. We thought it was coming from upstairs because it was coming down the wall. And we're like, nope, it's right here's the pipes right behind here. Took it out, tore the wall out, and there it is. And there's the pipe that's leaking. Unbelievable.
Well, I didn't have them do this because, and I wish I would have. A lot of you have leaky pipes underneath your home, and you won't even know it because they're cast iron or whatever, and they finally rot. They'll eventually, if you had a house built in the 60s and you haven't had it repiped, you will have
to. You need to repipe.
But what happens is if you don't, it'll be a long-term leak that can have an impact on your flooring as well.
Absolutely. So you need a plumber, 281-488-6238 or aqueductplumbingcompany.com.
ESPN 97.5. It's a new year and a new you, so give yourself a fresh start with MyBookie. What's up, guys? BK here. Whether you bet to earn or to make the games more exciting, MyBookie gives you the most for your money with their redesigned deposit bonus. Just use promo code BET975 on a deposit $50 or more to receive a cash bonus instantly to your MyBookie account. And using this bonus is simple. Bet your deposit amount just once and you're ready to cash out. It's no strings attached with MyBookie. They are the best in the business. Bet on the NFL, UFC, NBA, or play for a share of big cash prizes in their weekly online blackjack tournaments. With so many brands to choose from, you need a platform that makes it simple to bet and win like MyBookie. Get started today at MyBookie.ag. Use promo code BET975 for the best deposit deal in the industry. Bet on anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie.
People here are raving about QC Kinetics and how regenerative medicine has changed their life. People like Helen, an avid mountain climber who got sidelined when an accident left her knees in constant pain.
I was not able to train or do really anything on my knee.
Helen was told surgery would be her only option. But then she found QC Kinetics and was treated with natural biologics designed to repair and restore tissue in her knees. 3 months later, she was climbing the highest mountain in North America.
I got a very quick resolution to my pain. I began treatment in March, and I summited Denali June the 7th. It was super successful, and I recommend everyone seek out QC Kinetics as an alternative to surgery.
Get your life back with lasting results. No surgery, no drugs, no downtime. Call QC Kinetics today.
Call QC Kinetics, 713-913-5285. That's 713-913-5285. 713-913-5285.
Are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
I forget which one was red and which one was purple.
To me, Red Suit Eddie.
Delirious was the best. To me.
Whatever
had
red,
the most
red leather
most
suit.
Most quotable. Most
I think that was
joke.
The first one.
That was the first one.
Delirious
was
red.
The first one.
Red. The purple or blue leather suit was. Suit. I think that was the. Raw. I think that was Raw. I like Delirious
Lamont says,
better.
I like
Raw was good, but I like Delirious.
I like
better.
Delirious better too. Lamont says the Raw.
Delirious
was better.
Is iconic,
but he's wrong.
Is iconic. Let's get Manny in here. Manny wanted to talk about Eddie Murphy. What's up, Manny?
Bro, how could y'all forget Eddie Murphy's greatest accomplishment? And that is introducing the world to a young Halle Berry in Boomerang.
Yeah.
Oh, I thank Eddie Murphy every day for introducing us to Halle Berry.
Is that Halle Berry's
Halle debut?
Berry's debut?
I believe that was her debut. If she did a film, it wasn't as big as Boomerang before that. But Boomerang was her coming out party.
I didn't know that.
And if you've ever seen Monsters Ball, and you've ever seen the one with Hugh Jackman, the computer one, we should all be thanking Eddie Murphy for introducing us to Halle Berry.
Monsters Ball was dark.
Oh,
dark. Yeah,
I just remember the Hugh. It was Jackman. So unbelievable with Billy Bob Thornton and Halle Berry.
Or the one she's on the beach and she takes the top off.
Oh, Swordfish.
Swordfish. Yeah.
That's a
bad
movie.
That was a movie.
Terrible
but
movie. Great scene.
But it was a box office hit.
Oh, crap. Maddie's headed to...
Uh-oh. She was topless? I hate that. Man.
She's... Hopefully my wife's listening to music.
Yeah, hopefully.
Because I'm going to get an earful later.
Yeah, Trading Places is excellent. Jamie Lee Curtis had a decent fastball in that one. Yep, there's no question about that. No question. Jamie Lee Curtis did that as well in Trading Places. I'm opposed to it, taking your top off in a movie, but that happened. Yeah, Mr. Robinson's Neighborhood. It was Dr. Doolittle that I was thinking of with the voices. That was where he was heading downward. But great stuff. 713-780-3776.
If I could, I'll be honest. The first, I didn't know Norm MacDonald until we did the joke, like they did on SNL. He played the dog in Dr. Doolittle. He was Eddie Murphy's dog. And I was like, that's where I know him from, Dr. Doolittle.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I didn't watch any of the Dr. Doolittle films. But, Norm was tremendous. You didn't know Norm MacDonald before that, huh? Norm MacDonald was just was awesome.
He's one of the most unique comedians because his style was – he just had a very unique style,
yeah.
Norm MacDonald. People – you get the feeling he was going to say whatever he wanted. He didn't really care. Yeah, the way he delivered his jokes, Eddie Murphy – come around there and a crack whore involved with a transvestite crack whore. Like, what? You always knew. They even said that Norm would say stuff on Saturday Night Live when he was doing the weekend updates. And people in the building were like, they had no idea what he was going to say because he would write a lot of his own material. How about Dennis Miller used to be hilarious in weekend update stuff and all his stand-up comedy. Was really, really funny. Mr. Miller Goes to Washington to this day is tremendous. But
not so good at Monday Night Football.
That was the weirdest thing. That was like
so
what was Monday? Remember when Monday Night Football was trying to, let's think outside the box. What can we do? Dennis Miller was on Monday Night Football. My God, I hadn't thought about that for years. Yeah. You just made me remember.
Yeah.
What in the world were they doing? It's like Dan Deardorff. Was that when it was Deardorff, Miller, and whoever?
I don't know. They were trying to replace Howard Cosell as somebody, and they thought that this would be.
You know who would be great? Bill Burr. Now, I will watch Bill Burr on Monday Night Football. I'll be honest. If I had Bill Burr on Sunday Night Football with, you know who needs Bill Burr? Thursday Night Football on Amazon Prime. Because Al Michaels is barely, his disdain for everything now. You could use a Bill Burr in there to lighten it up. Bill Burr and Kirk Herbstreit and Al Michaels. Al Michaels trends every Thursday because everyone's like, Al Michaels is so done. They're either saying he's lost his fastball or he's so angry about this matchup or he's pissed about being with...
Wouldn't you be pissed off at how many games did they go in a row? They were atrocious. They didn't score a touchdown in like three straight games. I'd have been pissed, too, if I was Al Michaels doing those games.
They were embarrassing.
Let's get Mark in here. Let's talk about Nick Caserio. Hey, Mark.
Hey, good morning, guys. I got a quick question for you. When you weigh out the pros and cons of Nick's tenure here in Houston, I mean, the Marcus Cannon situation, the Shaq Lawson situation, Brandon Cooks last year, you could have traded him and for a second-round pick, allegedly, and you didn't. Hiring Coley, hiring Lovie. Drafted in Stingley over Sauce. Kenyon Green's been horrible. He handled the Deshaun trade, I believe, very well. But when you weigh out all the options, do you think his tenure here has been kind of a failure so far? Or would you say it's kind of unfair to give a review on it just because there's been so many situations and circumstances that he's had to overcome? Just when you weigh out all the cons, there's been a lot of disastrous, situations. I mean, just simply the Stingley over Sauce so far, that just seems brutal. And drafting Green and the hire. So I just want to hear y'all's take on that. I'm sure y'all went over it this week and last week, but I haven't really been listening. So I'll hang up and listen.
Yeah, I think he's a failure so far. I don't think he's any, and he's even admitted that he's been a failure so far. I think he walked into about as difficult a situation as you possibly could have. He had the Deshaun situation, which I think he handled really, really well. He waited, hold, set now, sell high, which he did. He got, I think, tremendous value in that. His draft picks are meh, although he started with a third rounder. And, that was, he hasn't not had a quarterback. He hasn't, he'd been, He started with his hands tied behind his back because he didn't have any first or second rounders. The Stingley pick and the Kenyon Green pick so far are not good, but they're only 1 year in. So you got to wait, and you can't judge it on yet. He's 7-26-1, so far he's been a failure. Now, do you get more time, especially with the situation that he walked into? Yeah. He has made some good moves. Damian Pierce was a good move. Then some of the pickups that he's had. I mean, Okoronkwo, Tremont Smith, keep retaining or getting those, attracting those guys. Most of the free agent signings have been meh. Just meh. But who's going to come here? What good free agent's coming here?
People who want money.
That's all.
Yeah, money. I mean,
it's just a money grab for
people.
For those guys.
It's not about winning. It's about money. But every free agent goes for money. I mean, Carlos wouldn't have ended up with the Twins if it was about winning.
Yeah.
So every free agent in every sport looks at money. It's a factor. I think you'll have free agents who come here if the Texans offer the best deal. But it is, if you've got something better on your plate, if it's Texans or this, you're going to take or that.
No.
Because they're a mess.
Well, and plus, he was limited in his cap space as well. I mean, it's not like he could go out and sign.
No, I'm kind of, this may, to be fair to Nick, I'm willing to, Rome isn't built in a day.
No.
And he's had two drafts. One of them didn't have a first-round pick. I'm willing to let Stingley and Kenyon Green still try to get better. I'm not ready to judge. I don't believe in judge. I've just seen this too much. I think he needs to have three full seasons. Off seasons before I start to have an opinion on Nick Caserio. That's just the way I work, and that would be for any general manager. Same thing would be true for Lovie. I can't judge Lovie off 1 year. I don't think Lovie should have been the head coach, but once you gave him the opportunity, how do you get, like, if guys weren't playing for Lovie, that, okay, I get it. You know, and apparently there were issues with players coming out and saying, Lovie just won't listen
and
to us.
And you know, that was probably the case as
well.
Does
Lovie have to listen to the players, by
probably,
the way? We didn't.
It was the case as well with Caserio. I mean, Lovie probably looked at him, I got way more experience than you do. You're 2 years on this job. What are your pelts on the wall? I got to a Super Bowl. Have you?
I think Lovie's also at that age where you stop.
Mm-hmm. You stop caring what people think.
You stop caring what people think.
Yep.
And I think Lovie knew he had a contract, and I think Lovie was like, we're going to do it my way, and that's the way.
That's
but Lovie was like that. Lovie lost Lovie gained authority over control from Jerry Angelo when they were in Chicago and then did terrible with personnel moves. But Lovie was also like this in Tampa Bay, where it was kind of, he didn't want to hear about analytics. He didn't want to hear about all that stuff. It was a Lovie way. I think Lovie was probably the same way. They made a change. It still looks bad to give a coach 1 year and back to. I think it looks bad, period, for 1 year to give a coach. Like when Steve Wilks got 1 year with Arizona, I was like, that looks terrible.
Well, and it's not unprecedented. I said that earlier that it was unprecedented. It has been. It happened
once,
in San Francisco.
And that was with Jim Tomasula.
You know,
right?
No, actually, it's happened more than that.
Oh, it has?
Yeah, but it was a longer ago. But it
Chip
just
Kelly
happened.
And Jim Tomasula, Jim, right? Jim, at San Francisco?
Yeah, Tomasula and Chip Kelly were 1 year deals. They had four coaches. The Texans are going to have four coaches in 4 years. That's a bad thing. It's a bad thing. All right, but they ended up with Kyle Shanahan, so they did a pretty good job at the end. And you know what? If you want to know the truth, the guys that they're looking at right now are the guys that they should have been looking at before. It's all young, up-and-coming guys that look like they are, you know, headed in the right direction with good resumes as well, as opposed to David Culley, as opposed to Lovie Smith. They're actually
Josh
doing
McCown.
A good job.
Yeah.
Guys, Hines Ward? I mean,
that
what
was a, that
the
was
hell
a
are
joke.
You doing?
Hines, what? You had two guys in the mix who had never even been coaches.
Ever. Okay, when we come back, Josh Pate is going to join us, we think, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We're going to talk some college football with Josh. Hopefully, we'll be able to wrap up the season with him. In the meantime, though, Lance, you need to talk about insurance.
So TGS Insurance wants you to shop for insurance, but they want you to do it just by texting. And you say, well, how can I shop for insurance by texting? It's actually quite easy. Text the word money to 232323. Text the word money to 232323. And TGS Insurance is going to do their very best to get you the best quote that they can find for you. And what they do is they have multiple A-rated insurance companies. They've got an algorithm. They put your address in it, and it spits out very, very quickly what the homeowner's insurance rates are going to be for your home. And it's incredible to be able to get competitive rates in a matter of 15 seconds. That's not a lie, by the way. 15 seconds is all it takes to get a competitive rate for your homeowner's insurance. Right now, the homeowner's insurance you have, if you've been staying with them for years, you don't have a competitive rate. They go up and up and up. I promise you, you're going to save money. It's the question is how much money. But the average person who makes the switch saves about $900. And there are plenty of people who end up saving in the thousands. That could be you as well. What do you have to lose? There's no strings attached. Text the word money to 232323 and find out what you could be paying on your homeowner's insurance within 15 seconds. Text the word money to 232323. That's TGSinsurance.com.
ESPN 97.5. ESPN 97.5 is your home for Texas A&M Athletics. Catch all the football and basketball action right here as the Aggies make their way through the SEC. Only on ESPN 97.5. Giga Mags.
Do you have aspirations of growing your business as big as Texas? Well, we want to help you accomplish those goals. Choose Veritex Community Bank as your banking partner. Find out what the 10th largest bank in Texas can do for you. Visit VeritexBank.com. Member FDIC.
When you need AC help, you need Century Air Solutions. They not only specialize in conventional air conditioning, but they also design and install high-efficiency geothermal systems made by water furnace that can help you save up to 70% on your monthly energy bills. If you're looking to save on the energy bills of your home or business, visit them today at CenturyAirSolutions.com or give them a call at 281-516-9974 to start designing the geothermal solution that's perfect for you. That's CenturyAirSolutions.com or 281-516-9974.
My brother-in-law died suddenly, and now my sister and her kids have to sell their home. That's why I told my husband we could not put off getting life insurance any longer. An agent offered us a 10-year, $500,000 policy for nearly $50 a month. Then we called SelectQuote. SelectQuote found us identical coverage for only $19 a month, a savings of $369 a year.
Whether you need a $500,000 policy or a $5 million policy, SelectQuote could save you more than 50% on term life insurance.
For your free quote, call SelectQuote at 1-800-683-7713. That's 1-800-683-7733. Or go to SelectQuote.com. 1-800-683-7733. That's 1-800-683-7733.
SelectQuote. We shop. You save. Full details on example policies at selectquote.com/commercials.
Okay, I'm mounted up. High off the ground, watch me count it up. Cop me a pound, burn it down with us. Let's hit the town, is you down or not? Look at me now, I done found me some.
Godfather of Houston Sports Radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, bringing in Josh Pate, who was with us all season long and did an unbelievable job. We really appreciate, Josh, what you did for us.
I told you he was good when I came up with Josh. I told John, I'm like, this is an up-and-coming guy right here now. We got to get Josh Pate.
Well, we're going to be able to see in like 10 years, we're going to say, oh, that guy used to do our show. Now he won't even talk to us. Now he won't give us the time of day. At Late Kick Josh on Twitter, a must-follow if you're a college football fan. Josh, welcome back. What a game. Holy crap. What a great way to finish up the season, huh?
Yeah, I assume by that phrasing, you have to be talking about the semifinal games. I guess we're just going to talk about the semis again. I'm down for it if you want to do it.
No, let's talk about the intrigue. And well, when it was 10-7, I thought, well, they got a little bit of life. But then, 55 straight points really turned that around.
As those kind of runs tend to do, I was on the field when both teams got there, and we did some live hits. So about the time we're done with those live hits, that's when warm-ups are happening. And I know that, a lot of us have seen a size and physicality disparity between two teams. Sometimes that means something bad's about to happen. Sometimes it doesn't. I'm sure Oklahoma and Boise didn't exactly look the same on the field pregame in 07. Didn't matter in the end. But I don't know that I've ever seen this glaring a size disparity between two teams I was about to see play, for like a championship. That normally is not the case.
And I'm standing there watching that, and I'm saying, wow. Because I had not seen TCU in person this year until now. I've seen Georgia a couple of times. Then got a couple of Georgia coaches who I trust pretty implicitly kind of coming over to me just as they're warming up, and both of them, actually three of them, gave me the exact same quote, which led me to believe it's a quote that had been resonating through their building for about the past 10 days, and that was, just remember something, big people move little people. And that's all they kept saying, big people move little people.
Yep.
And then I watched what their offensive line did throughout the entirety of the first quarter and really the game, and it made all the sense in the world. There's a lot of complexity about this game, and it can get really, really nuanced. But if you just keep it simple and you can break it down that academically, big people move little people, that's exactly what happened, and that's all I needed to know. If you told me nothing else other than that, I would have known the outcome.
I couldn't help but think that Texas and Oklahoma were watching that game. Texas and Oklahoma weren't as good as TCU, and they were thinking, man, we ain't ready for this.
Well, I also think that if you look at the past couple of signing days, with what Texas has done, I know it hasn't paid off yet from a strict wins and losses perspective, but when Sark got there, I got to give him credit for it. One of the first things they did is they really, really emphasized size on both lines of scrimmage, which everyone claims they do, but not everyone's successful in doing it. They've actually started bringing in those pieces. Now, that's only part one of the equation, obviously, but I think in both places, because Brent Venables is recruited well too, they realized immediately what's on the horizon. We're about to leave this conference. And then they realized what was in the immediacy. Our rosters are not nearly good enough. I mean, they've realized our rosters aren't good enough in the Big 12 at the moment, much less moving to the SEC. So, yeah, you're right about that. At the very least, I think they realize it. Hopefully, they've bought themselves enough time and then given themselves enough rope through recruiting to not make it look like that every week when they get there. Here's the other part of, I guess, good news, a ray of sunshine, if you would like to give them. There are not many programs that could do what Georgia did the other night. Yeah, you got Georgia down there, but that's not going to happen to you many times. That was a complete and total undressing.
It's funny. I started hearing this conversation. I hadn't really thought about this. I've thought about it in the past, but the game, I just thought, what an amazing game. I had thoughts about Stetson Bennett. I had, you know, that we'll get into here in a second. But, you know, Josh, yesterday I started hearing ESPN talking about the Talking Head shows, and I think it is fair. It's good that they're going to go to an expanded playoffs, but that beating by TCU is exactly the argument that people like me used to make when everyone wanted a certain team to, you know, to get in, like, well, you never know, you know, put them in there and you never know what can happen. Actually, what's going to happen is they're going to get the brakes beaten off of them. And TCU, who struggled to come from behind, and they deserve to be where they were. I mean, they won the game against Michigan, but there is only a certain group of teams, in my opinion, that can compete with these other teams, and TCU ain't in that group, and for as well as they played.
I agree with you. I mean, you guys know, because we've chopped this up a couple of times.
Alabama would have been more competitive without question.
Absolutely. There's a group of folks out there. And there's a couple of groups of folks, okay? The first group, the one you're talking about, says, well, we need to expand the playoff because then maybe we give a Cinderella a shot. And that sounds great in March and April when we're on the hardwood. I've never really believed that that's going to be the case in college football. And even if it were, because I've spoken to you about it before, I don't necessarily like what it does to the regular season. I know what the disagreements are on that. I don't really feel like taking about the rest of this interview to go through all that. So then the other part of it is that opposite group thinks you're agreeing with them when you say, oh, so you mean Alabama should have been in the playoff, right? And I'm not saying that either. Then they say, oh, you don't think Alabama would have been more competitive? Sure they would have. They, for all I know, they could have beaten Georgia. Ohio State almost did. I'm not saying that. Like, this is what I spent the majority of yesterday doing. Any radio hit I did on my own show yesterday, I mean, I was inundated with people who said, doesn't this national championship outcome just prove that Alabama should have been there? The committee got it wrong. I don't think the committee got it wrong at all. And I just think it's really unfair to use what happened in the playoff to determine whether the right teams were selected. Like, that's not how that works at all. You use the resume, you use the body of work, and that's all the information you have, and then you put the best four in, and then whatever happens, happens. I just think that, you know, the committee didn't keep Alabama out as much as Alabama kept Alabama out, but in the future, I think people will realize a lot more so maybe than before that even if one of those quote-unquote Cinderella teams gets to the title game, guys, in your mind, that sounds like they're so close to winning it. Look at what we got the other night. Really, how close was TCU? Like, if you know the edge of the cliff is approaching, it doesn't really matter how fast you speed up. It doesn't really matter how much you yell and scream and shout. You're eventually going to run off the side of that cliff. Like, if you know it's there, it's going to be there. If you know eventually, whether it's in the quarterfinals or the semifinals or the title game, you're going to run up against a team that you have zero shot of beating, then it really doesn't matter how deep you go. You're not winning a championship. And I've always thought that's what a playoff is about. It's about crowning a champion. But yet, when we start talking about expanding the college football playoff, it's the only time I ever have people come back to me and say, no, Josh, you don't get it. It's not really about the championship. We all know the same champions will emerge. We just want to make other things good. And I just shrug my shoulders. I'm like, have at it. Whatever.
Well, here's the deal is, well, now we'll have, with the playoff of 12 teams, we're going to have three SEC teams in there. And if three SEC teams make it to the semifinals, then they make it to the semifinals. Then they prove that they're the best conference. But what made the NCAA tournament great was that a 15 seed beat a 2 seed, and that was fun. And you know what? That 15 seed was TCU. They beat Michigan, and they advanced to the final. Now they've got to play in the playoff. They've got to win another game, which doesn't happen normally. So you at any given Saturday, TCU can beat Michigan, but can they sustain it the next week and the following week if they have to? And that's what we're going to get, and then we'll have more of a true champion, I think.
Well, look, so that's where it's just different for me. It's more philosophical at that point because I look at the regular season and then I look at the postseason in college football and I don't feel the same way as when I watch the NFL. In the NFL, I can't wait for the playoffs. NFL, love the playoffs. In college football, I could totally take it or leave it. If you give me what we get in the regular season, I just had never cared about whatever we call a true champion. I feel like the champions we crowned have been plenty good enough to satisfy me. I care about conference champions, and I really just care about rivalries. I care about Saturdays in the fall. That's really what I've always cared about. I've just never thought college football is built to crown a true champion. I don't think the strength of schedules are anywhere close to proportionate. Therefore, I don't think you can use the same criteria across the board to even select your playoff field. One conference champion is not equal to another conference champion. So that's where I've always been on that.
Well, it's the same in the NFL, though. Does Tampa deserve to be in there at 8-9? No, but they won their division.
But they have it's a similarity of scheduling. And that's what you can't get with.
Yeah, but they're 8-9 and in the playoff. They're certainly not one of the 14 best teams.
Right. But they are. But there's a much better. And you'll notice by the point spread differential, we know they're going to be much more competitive against another team because of the types of players they have. There's a similarity.
Yeah, but I think that the 12 team playoff actually makes it so. You know what? We will find. You know what? You'll get into the playoff. Even though you play a different schedule, but we'll find out what kind of, you know, whether or not your schedule. You can't blame USC because they're in a weak conference, or Clemson has been in a weak conference, right? In the ACC, yet they were champions. But they were in that schedule that they now played comparable to what Alabama was.
But they
playing.
Were loaded with pros too.
But that's okay. But they played a weak schedule. You know what I'm saying?
Right. But they handled their business with the schedule.
Right, and so will everybody else who's in the playoffs.
No, not necessarily at 12, John. You're going to have some 2 and maybe 3 lost teams in there.
Oh, you're guaranteed to have 3 lost teams in there. That is, by the way, that's a quarter of your schedule that you're allowed to lose now and still make a playoff to supposedly crown the best team in the country. Here's the other thing, which we haven't touched on, but I think it's going to be a glaring reality. You're going to have attrition really, 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 really matter here, and I don't think it's going to click until someone loses a star quarterback. I'm talking about one of the favorites, losing a star quarterback, losing big-time players in a quarterfinal situation or then semifinal situation. And I know people can tell me that's already part of the game anyway. And yeah, you're right. It's already part of the game anyway. But man, once we see the totality that an expanded playoff takes, unless you're shaving games off the regular season, and Lord, God forbid we can't do that because then someone would lose money that we don't know. I really think that like the health status, just injury concerns alone of some of the top teams is going to lead to a situation not too far into this thing where we watch one of the better teams not necessarily do what they should have done in the playoffs, not necessarily do what we saw them do all season, and it's not because they choke, it's just because there are like four or five guys they played with during the regular season that all of a sudden, poof, aren't there anymore because playing 17 games, which is in some cases going to have to be what you do, kind of takes its toll. It even does at the next level. So why wouldn't it at this level?
That is Josh Pate at Late Kick Josh. Quickly, before we let you go for the season, and we really appreciate you, what stands out in your mind this football season, Josh?
Well, I think that there's this idea that the Big 12, because of what you saw from TCU, the Big 12 was fraudulent. TCU and Kansas lost big to Georgia and Alabama, or Kansas State. I don't think the Big 12 was fraudulent at all. I think it's unfortunate that, you know, the last thing you see is the only thing some folks remember. The point is, the depth of the Big 12, I thought this year, and the quality of ball they played, was as good as I've seen in several years. And remember, they did it with their preseason number one and number two in terms of odds not coming through. Oklahoma and Texas did not come through, and the rest of the conference picked up the slack. I thought the Pac-12 played as good as they have, and that's with Oregon and USC still trending up, trending in the right direction. Washington surprised people. Oregon State surprised people. Arizona and UCLA surprised people. But you have to have some of the oxygen put back in the room for more of these teams to take some oxygen. And Clemson has put some oxygen back in the room. Nick Saban and Alabama, they have not fallen completely in the ditch like a lot of television programs would have led you to believe yesterday, but they've let a little bit of oxygen slip back into the room. Ohio State let a little bit back into the room. And now we're trying to see, aside from Georgia, who's going to take it. And that's why people are so excited about FSU, maybe LSU, Michigan here, Penn State. Could it be? It's going to be a really, really exciting spring. Forget about fall. Spring 2023 is going to be really exciting to watch.
Hold on. Cool. I'm keeping Josh for another question. Sorry, Josh. If you've got something to do, that's too bad. I would be so pissed off if I were a Michigan fan right now. The fact that Jim Harbaugh twice now has flirted with the NFL and won't write it out. Like, if we're not good enough for you at Michigan, your alma mater, you got to go. Like, I'm just telling you, maybe I'm petty, but I don't see how you can have the success that he has had getting to the playoffs for back-to-back years, and you keep having to deal with NFL, with the NFL and potential flirtation with the NFL. I'd be a little ticked if I were a Michigan fan.
It's a bad, bad look. And I was talking to someone Monday night who knows that situation pretty well, and he said, well, you're right. It is a bad look. Here's the follow-up. That guy doesn't even care about look because he's not aware of what the look is. So he's in this bubble, and if you were to present that to him, he'd almost say, look, like, what are you talking about? Look, this is just the way it's supposed to happen, right? I completely agree with you. And I want to remind the listeners who have maybe forgotten what was happening this time last year. They came off the playoff loss. He interviewed for the Vikings job on National Signing Day, which is something that you only do if you know you're getting the job and you're gone, because he allowed it to be publicized and everything, and he didn't get the job. He interviewed poorly and comes back, and I thought that was just mind-blowing. And then what he was able to do this year equally is mind-blowing, and now he puts out a statement essentially saying, hey, I'm probably gonna go to the prom with you if no one better comes along. So just hang tight. Oh, by the way, I'm gonna wrap my statement up by saying those who stay will be champions. And then the next headline you're gonna read is, I'm trying not to stay. I'm gonna go interview with Denver, whichever other job opens up. And here's the feel I've got. It's always interesting when someone says there's interest. So the interest is only part of the equation. Is there mutual interest? Are you and they both interested? And I've really gotten the feel that it's Jim Harbaugh's folks who have floated out that interest a lot more so than NFL folks who have floated out the interest. I'm not saying he won't get a job. I'm just saying I think he's been a little more motivated in this equation, more so than it's been the NFL just banging on his door.
Josh Pate, hey, it's been great having you all season long. We really appreciate your time, Josh. Thanks for making the show better every Wednesday morning. We appreciate it.
It's been fun, guys. I appreciate it.
All right, there's Josh Pate right here every Wednesday morning, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Time to talk about John Daspit now.
Yeah, John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. There is so much to cover here with John, and one of the things that I really love is that John Daspit went to high school here in Houston, went to undergraduate, and you know, grew up a sports fan. He listens to literally every hour of every show and has for 20 years. He's a hardcore listener. He's one of you. And he grew up here. He went to undergraduate and accounting degree at Texas, got a law degree at University of Houston, is involved in NIL at both of those locations, and has been involved with charitable stuff with Selvin Young here locally, former Longhorn. And I love the fact that he's not a guy who just sits back and doesn't, you know, and holds up in his house and doesn't do anything but tries cases here or there. He is part of the community, and he's an active part of the community. Very happy. He just had his first baby, so shout out to John on that one. It's a good guy, and he's out there trying to work for you as well. If you've been injured through no fault of your own, someone else's negligence, there are going to be insurance companies that try to limit the amount you get on your settlement for your injury, for your hospital bills, for the money that you've lost from when you've been away from work, for your physical therapy, the whole nine yards. And John Daspit and his law office is out there fighting for you. They got 10 offices in the state of Texas, and they are the second biggest in the state of Texas, the biggest here in Houston, and they are great at what they do because they are well-respected, highly regarded lawyers who are in his firm. He's recruited them from some of the best firms around the entire state of Texas. So make sure that you call John Daspit at 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT, or go to DaspitLaw.com.
You going to answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. The Affordable Care Act continues to be a complex regulation, and employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.
Meet Joe A.
Hi.
Joe B.
Hello.
And Joe C.
What's up?
Three everyday Joes perfecting their banking with Chase. Joe A. is locking his lost debit card with the Chase mobile app. Joe B. is cruising toward his new ride with AutoSave. And Joe C.'s Chase banker is helping him budget to go back to school. Tools that help protect? Support for what's next. One bank that puts you in control. Visit chase.com/checking. Chase, make more of what's yours.
Chase mobile app is available for select mobile devices. Messaging and data rates may apply. J.P. Morgan Chase Bank, N.A. member FDIC.
The Hoop Collective Podcast.
I'm at our ESPN LA studios. You may remember that Bev did a couple of days of work for ESPN last year.
No, I remember. I was on with him.
He left a gorgeous Dolce & Gabbana suit here that is just spectacular.
You should wear it on TV today, Brian.
I do not believe it will fit me, only because the arms are too long. You're across the street. Come over and get it. It's got to be at least a $7,000 suit.
The Hoop Collective Podcast. Listen on the ESPN app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
It's hard to miss the new eye-catching digital billboard on wheels cruising around town. That's Running Boards Marketing. Running Boards Marketing literally drives your message straight to your target audience, boosting brand recognition and increasing sales and revenue. Are you ready to reach more customers and get ahead of the competition? Then call 713-898-7839. That's 713-898-7839. And visit rbmwesthouston.com. rbmwesthouston.com.
Hey, guys. I know for many of you, living in pain is just what you do. You just try to play through it. It could be a knee, a shoulder, a back. You don't have to live with that chronic pain. I know that you say, I know, Lance, I go to the doctor, I'll get shots, or I'll take pain medicine, or eventually I'm going to get surgery. Well, how about the fact that your body's own healing powers are the most effective? And regenerative medicine is what QC Kinetics does. They take the body's healing power, they supercharge it, they put it back into the joints. And what begins to happen is you see restoring and regenerating processes on your damaged tissue, which helps to start to eliminate that chronic pain. You see results very, very quickly. For some people, it takes longer. For some people, it's a very short process, but they work. Look at the reviews and ask my wife, who has had four processes processes already on her severely damaged right knee. It is a game changer, guys. Make sure you call 713-913-5285. That's 713-913-5285 or go to qckinetics.com.
What's the oldest licensed distillery in the world? Answer, Bushmills Irish Whiskey, since 1608. Jake Asman here. I encourage you to discover the liquid history that is Bushmills. You have the blends, White Label, Red Bush, and Black Bush, each with unique notes, perfect in your favorite cocktail. Bushmills is world-renowned for their single malts, the 10, 16, and 21 years matured triple-distilled single malts. Start exploring Bushmills in liquor stores and bars across Houston. Bushmills, the original whiskey, born 1608.
Yeah, bigger than life, get it how you live, big money heavyweight.
Rain, snow, get my hustle on, count cash early morning before I leave on, family and love, don't want to live this world alone, yeah. So before I leave on,
Down the Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Today, or this Friday, is the deadline for teams and arbitration-eligible players to exchange desired salary figures. Kyle Tucker and Framber Valdez.
Okay.
Are both up there, and they have not come to terms yet.
I hope we do.
Ryan Stanek and Phil Maton are in their final year of arbitration before becoming free agents next year. Mm-hmm. Jose Urquidy, Christian Javier, Mauricio Dubon, and Blake Taylor, all arbitration-eligible players. Kyle Tucker is got three more years. We got three more years of Kyle Tucker here. That's it.
I'm going to enjoy him.
Yep.
Can't believe we're writing Kyle Tucker off, but it's just he's not going to do a deal early. Jim Crane's not going to give him a 10-year deal. I just don't see any way it doesn't.
Nope.
I don't see any way it's not.
He's not doing one of those 5-year deals, team-friendly deals.
All right. Let's talk about what we haven't even talked about at all today. Carlos Correa finally gets a contract. Right. Finally gets a contract. It started off being 300 and what was the first one with the Giants?
350.
350 with the Giants?
Yep.
It started off at 350. Then it went to 312 with the Mets.
312, yeah.
Yep. 312 with the Mets, and it ends up at $200 million.
It's got a potential to be 270 with incentives.
Yeah, I haven't heard what the incentives are.
You can't have a play. It's just about appearances. It can only be – the only incentive in baseball is number of starts.
It can't or be tied to MVP?
Cannot be.
Okay. I don't know how likely the...
can get bonuses.
Yeah.
But not... You can't get... Now, no. The Twins apparently have options. This is... In this instance, the Twins have options on 2029.
Oh, so they can get out of it?
The Twins can, yeah. The Twins can get out of it.
Boy, what a difference. Carlos had held all the cards with a 3-year deal at the money he wanted. Then he gets a guarantee, and now you've got a deal that's not even fully guaranteed because the Twins can get out of it. That is absolutely – well, here's the – well, I've actually got the details right here. SpotTrack's got it. So it's $32 million base salary, but it goes down every year, John. How about this? It goes from 32, 32, 36, 31.5, 30.5, 30, 25, 20, 15, and $10
million. Well, those are option years.
2032 is?
Yeah.
Oh, those, yeah, it's got to be.
Yeah, those are
options. Yeah, it's got to be.
Yeah.
But that's also how they get up to the $270,000, the $270 million because of the option years, too. And this signing bonus is $1.33 million a year, luxury tax, payroll salary, adjusted salary, yearly cash. So his yearly cash is in here. What an astonishing turn of events for Carlos Correa. Where, man, we got a break right here because we got Phil. Well, we just got a break. Phil Simms at 9:15.
No, 9.
Oh, 9. Okay, we'll break right here. We'll get to Carlos at 9:15.
Yep. We'll do that.
Because I actually do want to get into that a little
Phil
bit.
After Phil Sims, because we got a lot to talk about with Phil Sims, and I got a lot to talk about Chastain Ford. Chastain Ford is just the best place to go and get your Ford on. I'm telling you right now, I'm getting my Lightning. I'm doing the deal. I still have to sit down. I chose everything that I had wanted. And I knew what the price was going to be. Now I got to work it out. What is the financing going to be? How I'm going to do it? It could be a lease. It could be a buy. It could be depends on how much money I put down. All of this stuff. But they're going to work the deal as hard as they possibly can. There's a tax incentive on an electric vehicle, so I've got that. But they're going to get me in the best place I can possibly be in. And it's not just because it's me and I speak for them. It's everybody. This is the way they do business at Chastain Ford. Chastain Ford is going to work that deal. There's no hidden fees for you. There's no markups, which they're talking about market. Because of the market, the way that it is, we have to mark you up. No, they don't do that. They're not going to add on. They don't want to put a bed liner in your car if you don't want a bed liner, or a sunroof if you don't want a sunroof. They're going to get you the package exactly as you want it. And that's the way that they do it every single time. If you're looking for the best way to go about a deal with a Ford, there's no better. This is the number one commercial dealership in the city of Houston. That's unbelievable. A number one commercial Ford dealer in the city of Houston. And you know what? And now they're doing all of those same things on the retail side. That's you win. So if you're looking for the best way to get into that Ford car or truck, order yours today at ChastainFord.com or on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, just 5 minutes from downtown Chastain Ford.
We'll take a short break.
Stay tuned for more John and Lance on ESPN 97.5.